Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 31 this evening. And let's all ask the Lord to anoint chapter 31 and show us all the lessons, or whatever lessons it is that he wants to show us today, to give us the strength to live this day in the Lord, in the Spirit. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that keeps us, the flesh, mortified daily. We know that your word is spirit and is life. Thank you for this life. Lord, you and we together are the communion. You instructed your disciples in the communion, Lord, to, this is my body which is broken for you. And who is your body? We are your body. And so therefore, Lord, we must be broken. And broken for you, you said? Yes, because it's for us that if we're broken, then we spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven and we have holy communion with you. You were broken for us. And you can only communicate to people that have been broken too. You have to break a horse in order to ride it. And we have to be broken in order for you to guide us. Lord, you love those that have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Contrite heart is a contrite spirit. You love those that have a broken spirit. Lord, we are spirit. That's all we are, a spirit. And we're walking around in a dirt briefcase. And we need to keep that briefcase under the control of your spirit mingled with ours. Our spirit mingled with yours. Our broken spirit mingled with your broken spirit. There's no way that a living God will communicate in a grand way to an unbroken spirit vessel. There's no way that we can be mature in your body unless we're broken. We cannot communicate with you on a powerful basis unless we're broken. We are your body. We are broken for you. You were broken for us. Lord, you have raised us from the dead spiritually. Our spirit in us was dead in sins and trespasses, and you cleansed us from all of our sins with your blood. And then our spirit became alive because your spirit mingled itself in our spirit. And Lord, we know that if we continue being humble, in other words, broken, humble meaning broken, meaning contrite, meaning that we do what you say. So many times during the day, we need to pray, but we have not been broken enough to just break away from whatever we're doing to pray. And if there's no way that we can call ourselves consecrated, if we don't break away from the things that we love to do during the day, or maybe something that seems to be an important phone call, or seems to be an important thing for us to do, or maybe playing out in the yard or going to the gym seems more important than holy communion with you, well, then we cannot be your body. Lord, we must be broken enough to where we break away from even the most tantalizing of things in this world, because we're to not love the world. We need to break our spirit and have this contrite heart or spirit. We are spirits, and this spirit could leave our bodies any day, this suitcase that we're living in. Suitcase is not important unless it's under total breakage from your spirit. And there's no way that we can have total victory unless we are broken spirits, broken hearts. This means contrite hearts, means a broken spirit, broken spirit, broken spirit. Deny thyself, which you want to do. That's what it means, break away from what we're doing daily. Break away from what we're doing daily and do what the Lord wants. He says, pray always. Pray without ceasing. This is how we have Holy Communion with the Lord. You are the bread of life. Your word says, tells us to do this. If we eat that bread, that means we're eating your flesh. If we eat your word, if we do what your word says, that means we're eating your flesh and partaking in your blood. Now you said, this is my blood that was shed for you. If we do this, that means the life is in the blood. That we have your blood in us. We have your life. But if we don't eat the bread of life, if we don't break away from whatever we're doing during the day and pray without ceasing, then we don't have your blood anymore, because we're sinning. And the life is in your blood. And you say, pray always. Pray without ceasing, your word says. Lord, let your lessons in this chapter and every chapter that we ever read be a life-giving spirit in us to make us more and more contrite, to more and more broken daily. A broken God, a God that is broken and resurrected, wants to communicate with those that know what it's like to go through the fire, to break away from the world and seek their Savior, their Creator. Lord, we ask that everyone, that this quickens into their hearts and souls and makes them a perfect, a holy person. Every hearer of this tape, realize that, receive it, and do it, and always remember it in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Exodus chapter 31, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri.
Now, why is God talking to Moses so much? Because he did everything the Bible keeps saying that the Lord told him to do. That's why this is a real good servant of the Lord. How many pray without ceasing? No, when you don't, you're thumbing your nose at the Lord. How many when the Lord calls out to them and they lay hands on people, does the Lord come down and heal them right away to endorse that particular person? Not very many in this world. You see them praying and praying and praying, but then when they get off the television set or in the pulpit area, off the platform, boy, it's amazing. You can follow those people and you'll see them going in to different evil places and loving it and doing all sorts of different evil things. They think that they're doing God a favor by being in a service for an hour. Now, why did God give Moses such attention? He spoke to him face to face as a man talks to a man. And why did he give people the spirit of wisdom and understanding to do something? It's because they want to do something for the Lord. They're just waiting on him to say something. Hopefully you're waiting on the Lord and doing what he says, that you're a broken vessel, because this Holy Communion, having a cracker and a glass of grape juice, is not what it's all about. It's just symbolic of your body is broken for the Lord. You break away from the world all the time. He says, do this as often as you will. And then what does he say? To do this without ceasing. To pray to me without ceasing. And to constantly meditate on him both day and night. And he whose mind is stayed upon the Lord, what? Will have perfect peace and a sound mind. Amen?
Amen?
So why do people act so crazy all the time? It's obvious. Their mind is not stayed upon the Lord. Now, they're the ones always that are looking for sympathy. And I have no sympathy for people that know the word and then don't do it. Now, if it's just some unsaved person or some new baby Christian or something like that, I have a lot of patience with someone like that. But to somebody that's been born and raised in the church, or that has been in the church for years, and they don't know these things, and they want sympathy because they're going through such trials and tribulations. Remember, Jesus was the best, and he suffered the worst. He went through more tribulations than us all, or more than we'll ever go through. Amen? Because he suffered for the sins of every one of us in this world. Okay? And so why does God give people extra gifts and so on? It's because they're really sincere. They're really broken. They just break away from the world because they realize that there isn't anything that has ever really benefited them in this world that's given their soul comfort and peace and joy, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. There's not, that isn't in the world. It has to come from the Lord. So why not break away from the world? Which is the same thing when you do that, is like your body being broken. Because the body wants to be partaker of the world. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord wants you to break away from the world, and that's a broken spirit. Because your spirit, just like a spirited horse, wants to run its way. It wants to just run, and do it. And sometimes the Lord wants us to get before him in prayer. Amen?
Yeah.
When you want to go outside and run and play. Going through the fire, it's time to pray. Oh, come on, people will say. Don't be a spoil sport. Come in and play with us. But no, to me, I have to talk to my Lord and God, my Creator. I'm broken. I would like to, but I would like more to be before the Lord, have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I want communion with the Lord. I want to break away from this world. My body, that's how I break my body. Jesus broke his body for me, and I'm going to break my body for him. Because I want the same relationship with him, and even more than Moses had, because I want the Lord to continue living in me and working through me. So, okay, I'm going and pray until the Lord tells me he's answered me. I've got a lot of things. I see a lot of things in this world that needs to be, that the Lord needs to change. And so far as binding something, if we bind something on earth here, then God will bind it in heaven. Now, you think you know what that means. But just lately over in this little small town, a bunch of people that don't like us challenged that we voted. They said that a lot of us didn't really live here. And we do. And so they called us into the court down in Texarkana, Arkansas. And we showed proof. There was like identifications, driver's licenses that had our address on it. And there was like letters that some people had gotten, voter registrations from last year and maybe the year before. And all sorts of proof that we lived here in this small town. And so it was on the front page of the paper that we won. And why? Because we just said, well, the Lord will take care of it. No, we had to go down there and bind that. We bound it here on earth, and therefore the Lord bound it in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So it isn't the people that just say, well, you know, the Lord knows all about it, and the Lord will take care of it. No, he wants us to take care of it. He wants us to go down and prove and to resist Satan. That's what means resisting the devil. And they had to flee. They says, well, I guess we were wrong. And they just, these people that were the enemies of God and his church, and they just went home, defeated. So we went down there, and it was an imposition because we had to get there first thing in the morning. All right? So we broke our bodies. Our bodies didn't want to. You know, a lot of people, they say it's a hassle to get out of bed in the morning, you know? That breaks their spirit to even get up. And it breaks their spirit to have to confront somebody. Or it breaks their spirit to have to confront somebody that's in government. But we have to face the enemy. And we have to gather all the proof that we have to set before them so that they're bound. And at the same time be praying, okay, Lord, we're binding it here to the best of our knowledge to do. Now, Father, bind it in heaven in Jesus' name. Now, that's what binding the devil means. Amen?
Amen.
And also, when they ran out of water out of here, the Lord says, pay $5,000 a week. I'll send the money in to give them water. But, Lord, they took our water away. He said, do what I say. Well, that breaks my spirit because my flesh doesn't want to. My flesh wants to strike out at an enemy or, you know, just say, no, I'm not going to do anything by saying I'm not going to do anything for them because they took our water away from us. But the Lord said to do it, and so I use the scripture that says, overcome evil by doing good. Amen?
Amen.
So following that, that was against my flesh, but I did it. And we got the city's doing everything for us now because there were a lot of poor people and a lot of people that had children and a lot of old folks that couldn't even take a bath or cleanse their wounds with water. And we did that, and they all felt ashamed that they had taken our water away from us. And some of them even wept because they realized then how evil they were and what it really means to be good. And so we overcame evil by doing good. And now everybody thinks we're fine out here, except this little remnant of people that came against us in this voting situation. I myself don't vote, but the others did, and that's we like certain people, and that's what they did. They voted for who seemed to not care what people think, but they do what the Lord says, and that's the ones we want to vote for. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that's how you break, you become the body of Christ that is broken, because a body that isn't broken is not the Lord's body. A spirit that is not contrite or broken is not the Lord's spirit. And we have to, the spirit of the Lord in our spirit has to agree. And if we're married, our spirit and our wife's spirit or your husband's spirit has to agree, because you cannot stay together. You cannot admire one another. You cannot love one another unless you both agree that the Lord is right. Okay, now this is an unintentional message this evening that the Lord wants me to say. And I wanted to just bring chapter 31, but this is a message that the Lord wanted to bring, and so I'm just saying it. And hopefully you receive it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because it is directly from the Lord. Okay, now let's go on with chapter 31.
Verse 2. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver.
In other words, this man didn't have the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to do cunning work. He had some kind of talent, but not the kind of talent that would make him confident enough to do something so important as to build the tabernacle of the Lord for the Lord. I mean, a lot of people be afraid. Oh my God, this is something for the Lord. I don't have the confidence to do it, but just like when I got, God showed me Sue. I mean, I was just a born, brand new baby Christian. And when he would show me, I just shoved myself up out of my this vision, and it still kept coming to me. It said, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. The Lord said the Holy Spirit came around me like smoke rings. And then he filled me with this spirit, and I felt very confident to be her husband after that, because she was so wise, full of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in the Lord. I just didn't feel capable, and I was pushing up and saying, no, this is my Bible teacher, it can't be true. And he said, it is true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. So, I can understand what happened to this man. He had the ability, but he didn't have the confidence to know that he had the ability. And the Lord said that he also added wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and to be a cunning craftsmanship person, to be able to be employed by the Lord and just go ahead and do it with vigor and with total confidence that this is exactly what the Lord wants, and I know it's a good job because the Spirit of the Lord is in me to do it. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes.
So like when you, you know, you're not puffed up, anytime you see somebody puffed, they don't have that kind of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You got to have a humble person, somebody that's broken, and then the Lord will fill them with the Spirit, because anybody that is given such a gift as this man had to build the actual temple of the Lord, which would be representative of us, who are the real temple of the Lord. But the Lord did come down and abide in that temple, and today he doesn't do that. He lives in people, amen?
Amen.
Broken people with contrite hearts, amen?
Amen.
Broken spirits and contrite hearts. People that you know, pay no attention to this world. They just ignore it and just do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
This is the wisdom from the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
The Lord does that to people that pay strict attention to his word and that want to do something for him, that just don't want to be vegetables that eat, sleep, and go to bed, you know, and play and things like this. Or like Larry Hagman told me, he says, I heard that your people up there just eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. I said, you heard the wrong story, man. That isn't it at all. He said, what, are they retarded or something? I said, no. They're Christians. Amen?
Yeah.
We were having dinner with that guy that plays Bobby on Dallas. And, you know, then all of a sudden he had this liver operation from boozing it up so much. And let's all pray that Larry Hagman and all these entertainers that think they're just doing so well in this world, that they learn that this world is condemned and it's doomed and it's going to burn. Amen?
Amen.
That they will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and then that they'll break away from the world and be able to have communion with the Lord. This is my body which is broken for you, and this is my blood. Eat and now drink. Okay, eat this word and do it. And drink whatever cup I set before you. Then you have my life. Because the life is in the blood. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, then what?
And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them.
That's really something, you know. I had a store in Nashville, and I know how detailed it is to cut a diamond, because you can shatter a diamond. Diamonds aren't as strong as people think, because I had some pretty big ones in my life, and I hit up against a piece of something, and it chipped a great big chunk out of a huge diamond that I used to wear. And I was fortunate to sell it, you know, and that's what I was in the business of, is selling clothing and jewelry and things like that. But I know that they're very fragile, and so you really have to be a cunning craftsman to be able to cut stones and then set them. And you know something about that too, Sharon, because you used to be in the do jewelry yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Am I telling the truth?
Yes, you are.
All right. It's like there's some craftsmen, only about two or three major ones in Los Angeles, and everybody has to take their gems there. You take a great big old diamond in there, and you want it cut into an emerald cut or a certain kind of cut, and that diamond could shatter all over the place and be all next to worthless. Amen?
Amen.
And so this is a lot of cunning, you know, that goes with this. It's not just, oh, he cut some stones, I could do the same thing. Don't believe that. If two people out of a city with about 12 to 15 million people can do it, I don't know about you. Huh? Right?
Right.
And I wouldn't do it anyway if the Lord didn't tell you to do it. And I don't believe the Lord's going to be telling anybody to be cutting diamonds and setting stones. Amen?
Amen.
Unless it's in the clothing business again. All right, then what else?
And in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship.
So this man could even carve timber. One of my uncles was one of the best people to carve things in this world. And that isn't really a good thing to do, because you're not supposed to make images like that. But anyway, he did do it. And, you know, he knows the warnings. But the Lord told him to make this kind of a carving. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan.
As an assistant to help him. Okay, so I know the assistant must have known something too. Then what?
And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded them.
And then who are the wise-hearted ones? The ones that fear God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
To fear God and keep His commandments, that's the whole duty of man, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I hope people are receiving this. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
The tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture.
And all these people that he's given all this, that have the fear of the Lord, or in other words, they have wisdom, they're going to be making all this stuff under this one man's supervision. What's his name again?
Bezalel.
Bezalel. He's the boss of all this. Amen? Okay, and then there's an assistant of Bezalel. What's his name?
Aholiab.
Aholiab. Okay, then what?
And the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot.
A laver means, you know what a lavatory is. A lavatory, a lot of people think that's the toilet, but it's not. It's a sink. A lavatory. Amen?
Amen.
So a laver, that means a sink, or like a basin to wash Aaron's feet and the son's feet and their hands. That's a lavatory, a laver. That's where we get the word lavatory. Can I go to the lavatory? That means, can I go wash up? All right? In case you didn't know, it's good to know the English language. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's taken from Hebrew. All right, what else?
And the cloths of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons, to minister in the priest's office. And the anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Translation, verses 1 through 11. Craftsmen Bezalel and Aholiab. The Lord also said to Moses, Look, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, intelligence, and skill in all kinds of crafts. He is able to create beautiful objects from gold, silver, and bronze.
Great wisdom means great fear to make sure that everything is done exactly the way the Lord wants it. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's what we have to do, is have great fear in order to get into the kingdom of heaven, to build the holy temple of the Lord. Every one of us is commissioned to do that. We have to build it ourselves. We have to dig into the Word. We have to break our own spirits. We have to be broken. He says, He commands us. He says, I'm going to break you. He says, break yourselves. He says, deny yourself. He doesn't say, I'm going to make you deny yourself. Here's the whole world out there now. Deny it. Okay? Deny yourself, this world. And here's a great big world where people are just running scot-free, doing everything, and I want you crucified. Okay? Now, you're not going to do that unless you fear the Lord. And I pray that everyone in this world will get a supernatural experience from the Lord, as fearful as mine was, so that you'll actually be serving the Lord actually about 40 years later, as I am, and it is, my fear continues to grow all the time. Amen? So, this man had a lot of fear to do exactly what the Lord said. He says he gave him great fear. He probably showed up to him and maybe appeared to him in a mirror like he did me. He says, now I want you to do this, okay? You know, like maybe put his finger on his nose or something. And that would scare me to no end. And then if he put the spirit of fear in me by doing something like that, he did even a lot more to me than that. He pulled my spirit in and out, and that gave me you'll get a start, I guarantee you, if something like that has happened to you. And people that are just blasé about the Lord, I just, pray for them that God will do something to them to wake them up. Because you don't know what it's like when the Lord starts playing you with you like a little kid plays with a toy. And sometimes kids are pretty clumsy with toys, and they bang them up against the wall and throw them down. Okay? That's the way kind of a God we have. I know one man said in a testimony that the Lord, he was so defiant that the Lord picked him up, the Spirit did, and threw him up against the wall about 25 feet away. He says that woke him up. Huh? So this Bez over here, he got started really good. He did everything just so. Amen?
Amen.
Just so, with fear and trembling. Great wisdom. Great fear is what it means. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. He is skilled in cutting and setting gemstones and in carving wood. Yes, he is a master at every craft! Exclamation mark. And I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant.
Now, the Lord scared all of Israel by talking to him, that big booming voice with lightnings and thunders and a horn blowing, blasting, getting louder and louder all the time, and an earthquake, and smoke billowing up, and flames and everything like that. They were scared for a while. Don't let him talk to us. You hear, Moses? Yeah, let him talk to you, and then you come and tell us what he says. The whole nation, and they handed that down from one generation to the other. So, that was a frightful experience, amen?
Amen.
So, he did a whole nation that way, anywhere from about 150,000, 300,000 people, or 3 million people, 600,000 to men, and the rest, women and children, which could have come. A lot of people estimate that it could have been 1.5 to 3 million people, depending on how many children they had and how many wives they had. Amen? So, the Lord knows how to get people's attention. God doesn't want people to get attention, all the people, that way. God could open up the eastern sky and stand there and shake a rod at everybody and fire come out of his eyes, and I'll guarantee you everybody's going to fall down on their face. Amen?
Amen.
But you take people that are not too bright, after he closes the sky up, they're going to get back up and start doing their own thing again after about a month, or maybe some of them a couple of days. And maybe some of them are so stupid they start doing their own thing right afterwards. Because they don't study his word to know that he doesn't go for that. He wants you broken. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Moreover, I have given special skill to all the naturally talented craftsmen, so they can make all the things I have instructed you to make. The tabernacle itself, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the table and all its utensils, the gold lampstand with all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the wash basin and its pedestal, the beautifully stitched holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests, the anointing oil, and the special incense for the holy place. They must follow exactly all the instructions I have given you.
See, now we have people that have done building for us before, like steel buildings, and each one of them are very careful to do those steel buildings just exactly the way that they were told to do them, and everybody just admires them the most. Amen? And so you could, if they do that just for money, and that's what they're doing it for, how much more when it's the Lord telling you to do something? And if you've got the fear of the Lord, you can imagine how precise these people were, because they really had an experience with the Lord. And we've had bigger experiences with Him if the Spirit of the Lord is dwelling in you. Amen? And you have more of the Bible to read. But the Lord gave them some really good jarrings there. The Lord prefers that people believe Him because what they read about the testimony of all these people in the Bible. If you believe that, if you don't, if you get bored at hearing about this, well then, you just might as well figure that you're doomed to hell, because the Word doesn't scare you. It doesn't make you fearful. And the experience that you have when the Spirit of the Lord is feeding you and making you grow and making you mortifying your flesh, if that isn't enough, I don't know what else you need. You need a good eternity in a pit of hell is what the Lord thinks you need, amen, if you don't get right, if you don't get to moving, all right, and a-grooving, okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations.
Now everybody's supposed to take a day off during the week, but it isn't cut and dry like that, because the human body needs some rest. Amen?
Amen.
Because you gotta, you know, take it easy one day, and the Holy Spirit has never deprived me of that. There are some days that the Lord just really doesn't have much to do, and He just says, this is a day of rest. Sometimes it'll be any given day, you know. I don't want to have to go through the days of the week. But it just varies. And some days, you know, where it might be, where it will be Saturday or Sunday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday, He'll have me get up and do something for the Lord, you know. But every day, I do messages, all right? So it's permissible to do, to be in the Spirit all the time. The Lord wants that. He wants us to do godly work every day. Amen?
Amen.
All the time. Okay, then what?
For it is a sign between...
You know why? Because doing a spiritual thing all the time is extremely refreshing. That's resting, amen?
Amen.
To resting in the Spirit. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you Sabbath. Amen?
Amen?
Rest. So as the Lord pours out His Spirit, I'm going to be resting in there all the time. And just if He wants me to... I don't even know that I'm working, because it's a labor of love. It's like in the Spirit. Amen? This is not labor to me. This is not labor to me at all. Okay, what else?
For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you.
Yeah, the Lord that sets you apart from the rest of the world. Okay? He keeps saying that from the very beginning to the end. I said separate you from the world. And the New Testament reinforces it. Be separate, holy. Stay away from the world. Love not the world. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's nothing in there for you. Empty, you know, you're empty-headed if you think so. What has the world ever given you so far? We can use the world, we can eat and drink and all the things that, but, you know, we're not supposed to do the things worldly people do. They sleep, we can sleep, okay? Then what else?
Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
It's the same thing. It's like, I've saved you, you're in my body, you're broken now, and you're my broken body. And if you get out of this rest of mine, if you get out of my body, you shall surely die. Amen?
Amen.
If you break away and start doing your own work, you're going to die. That's all there is to it. Then what else?
6 days may work be done, But in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest.
Yeah, but now it's 7 days rest of your own labor. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death.
Well, we're now in the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is just living in the Lord. The day of the Lord is the Sabbath day. Well, are you saved? If you are, you're in the Sabbath. Amen?
Yeah.
Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Jesus was made for our rest. Amen?
Amen.
He's the Sabbath. I am the way, the truth, the life. I'm the Sabbath. I'm the door. I'm the bright morning star. Not the lily of the valley. That's us. Amen?
Amen.
And not the rose of Sharon. That's us. According to the book of the Song of Solomon. All right? Then what else?
Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon the mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Translation, verses 12 through 18. The instructions for the Sabbath. The Lord then gave these further instructions to Moses. Tell the people of Israel to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you forever.
That's the deal we cut between each other. I want you in my Sabbath, okay? I want you resting in me. All right, then what? But to show, until that day comes, I want you to just go from Friday when the sun goes down until Saturday when the sun goes down to rest. Never was there ever a Sabbath on Sunday, okay? That's a Catholic thing, all right? Then what? Actually, in Israel, Sunday is Monday, really?
Mm-hmm.
They go to work on Sunday. Okay, then what else?
It helps you to remember that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Bracket, the yeah. Lord.
And that really makes you know that he's holy when you're in him always. Amen?
Amen.
Then he knows you believe that he's holy. When you're broken to the point that you're resting in him. But you still, he'll let you know when you can rest and lay around. All right? Then what else?
Bracket, the Lord is the word and his word makes us holy. End bracket. Yes, keep the Sabbath day, for it is holy. Anyone who desecrates it must die. Anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community. Work 6 days only, but the seventh day must be a day of total rest. I repeat, because the Lord considers it a holy day, anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. Bracket, because you are going against God's instructions. It's rebellion against God's instructions. End bracket. The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day forever. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with them. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but he rested on the seventh day and was refreshed. Then as the Lord finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the 2 stone tablets, inscribed with the terms of the covenant, written by the finger of God.
All right, that was the 31st chapter of the book of Exodus. And we have some more commentary.
I want to go back here to chapter 30, verses 1 through 10 for a moment. As graphic and compelling as the sacrificial system was, it still could provide only temporary atonement or forgiveness for sins of the people. These sacrifices and offerings affected the foreshadowed, the final sacrifice of Christ. See John 1:29. Quote, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Unquote.
which also means for those that will allow him to do it. All right. Now, what else?
But also, Christ tells us that we must give ourselves as a sacrifice. So actually, we are Christ's body, so we also have to sacrifice our lives unto him. But unlike Christ's sacrifice, they could not provide permanent forgiveness of sin and give you the power to not sin.
Right. Animals can't take sins away, nor can they give you the power to not sin anymore. It has to be the Lord. He's the true sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world and gives you the power to keep the commandments. Then what?
Only through faith in Christ, which means that you believe in Christ and go and sin no more, is such forgiveness possible. Because it's far worse for you if you become saved and believe in the Lord and then turn back on him.
Turn away from him and walk with him no more. Then what?
Chapter 31, verses 12 through 17.
Okay, you folks can just pick your Bible up and read that yourself. Then what?
Keeping the weekly Sabbath was to become a regular occurrence in the lives of the Israelites, and we are supposed to keep a weekly Sabbath too. Once a week, we are to rest our bodies. But while we are doing this, there may come a situation in our life that we are to do something for the Lord. The Lord.
In other words, the Spirit calls us to do some work for him, like witness to somebody or just whatever, because the disciples did that and Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The Lord leads us to do something. So we are not to just do nothing. We are to follow the Spirit. There will be a day of the week where you will not do anything whatsoever. The main thing it is telling us also is that we have a 365-day-a-year Sabbath.
Right. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm on my day off, I'm going to go home and wash and do clothes and hang them up on the... That's work. Amen?
Amen.
Even though the washing machine is doing most of the work and the dryer. Or, you know, I'm going to clean the house and... I know, a real Sabbath, you don't even light a fire. Amen?
Amen.
You don't even make food. The Jews... Tell me if I'm wrong. They make the food that they're going to eat on the Sabbath the day before.
Right.
Amen. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, and Sharon is Jewish. A completed Jew now. Spiritual Jew. All right, then what?
The main thing it is telling us also is that we have a 365-day-a-year Sabbath where we just rest from all of our own works to follow the Lord. It is to rest in him. Quote, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Unquote. So we rest permanently in him, and we just move when the Spirit tells us to move.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. What did the people out in the on the desert do when he was leading them about for 40 years? Nothing much, right? They walked. They'd pick up bread every morning, except on the Sabbath. And what did the disciples and apostles do? They witnessed and testified, amen?
Amen.
So they weren't really doing any manual, really hard labor, were they?
No.
No. The Lord doesn't really require it. He wants us to walk in the Spirit, to do spiritual things, amen?
Amen.
Except, you know... He did have Stephen waiting tables, amen, and people cooking food and things like that. But the most important thing, and they built things, they built houses and things like that, but God even put them into a land where the houses were already built and the vineyards were already planted and the trees were already planted and so on, all right? So, you know, the Lord says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, that means take my work upon you. Let's work together, because my work, my yoke, is easy and light. You're not slaving as a Christian. Don't give me that, okay? And don't try to tell the Lord that. You are not slaving. But you vacuum the floor, you wash the dishes, oh my, my. Oh my, my. Okay, now we have to do stuff. And we have to keep up the grounds, we have to help build, we have to do, you know, driving and so on and so forth. But we also have to be in the Lord and witness. And then we have to put that first. Because if we don't bear fruit, we're going to burn. Then what?
The Sabbath day was set apart for God as a day of special worship, and for the people as a day of rest to refresh the body. We do have to rest because that's the way God made us, to refresh ourselves and to be thinking of the Lord. In modern society, the weekend is often considered a time to get away from our work. But we often fail to set aside a day for God. But the people of the world do not do that as He intended for them to do. Some people, when they look forward to Sunday, they just figure that that's the Sabbath. No, if the Lord has you busy doing a work for Him on Sunday, or Friday, or Saturday, then you are to do it. That's where people lack the spiritual knowledge from the seven spirits of the Lord. So we have to always look to be led by the Holy Spirit, and let God tell us when we can rest, and He will refresh us. The Spirit will refresh us. At least a day, our bodies will get plenty of rest by being led by the Spirit, far more than if you just took a day as a literal Sunday or Saturday or Friday Sabbath. He might have you rest on a Monday or Tuesday. 31 verse 3. This is one of the earliest references in Scripture to being filled with the Spirit of God. The idea here is that God's Spirit gave the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to enhance these men's natural abilities to fulfill His instructions. Understanding is another spirit of the Lord. Wisdom and understanding, to solve the project's complex problems and workmanship, skill to accomplish the labor with the accuracy that God required. 31 verse 12 through 17. Even though the tabernacle needed to be constructed quickly, that need did not overweigh obedience of the accuracy to be observed, and also it didn't take away from the knowledge that you still had to rest on the Sabbath day. 31 verse 13. The Sabbath, or resting according to the Lord, was the covenant sign between God and Israel of their relationship and sanctification, setting them apart from the rest of the world, because the rest of the world doesn't do that. They do worldly things. People of the Lord do godly things. God is the sanctifier, the one who strengtheneth them for their ability to be obedient.
Praise the Lord. So that was 31 of the book of Exodus. We've got 9 more chapters there. And keep your mind stayed upon the Lord so that you can have perfect peace and a sound mind in a world that has gone mad, a world that's filled with chaos and confusion. All the leaders of the secular world are insane. And weren't we all before we were saved? I know I was. And so let's pray for them that they'll be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And keep our mind on doing things like this for the Lord, because the Lord wants us to do that. Why? Because He died for them too. He wants them to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So, and He knows that if we pray for them, He says if we pray, that He will hear and answer. And if not, He'll heap coals of fire on their head. And, you know, whatever He does, that's His business. Amen?
Amen.
So, keep looking up. Meditate day and night. God bless you until chapter 32, which we'll do, Lord willing, tonight. And praise the Lord. Amen.